Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Kukuletu.
Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. Are you well?
Yes, I'm well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We do appreciate your time. Now, Kukuletu, we're going to be talking about a very important subject. Many are scared to speak out and talk when they see such things, discrimination in the workplace. And it is often complained about a problem in the workplace. It takes place quite frequently, and it can take on many forms, which we'll be looking at, hopefully, in today's conversations. But Fred, before we get into all of those, how do we characterize what discrimination is?
Repeat yourself, sir.
What is a discrimination?
Yes, okay. It's a good place to start when we have to be clear what discrimination in the workplace is. It basically refers to treating employees or even future employees, meaning job applicants, unfairly or unfavorably so, based on certain characteristics, attributes, or even protected categories that the employer might put in place. So we cannot even move further discussing or describing discrimination in the workplace without when it becomes unfair and when it becomes fair.
Okay.
So discrimination, depending on where you are, is also an unfair treatment that can occur in various forms, including how the people are hired, how they are promoted, their job assignments, including how they get paid, compensation. The worst part in most institutions or businesses is related to discrimination at termination. So workplace discrimination can then be illegal in many countries and is typically prohibited based on many factors. So discrimination can even be based on one's race, ethnicity, on gender, age, sexual orientation, gender identity. Disability is also one of the areas that we can just put our finger on. Religion, marital status, military status, pregnancy, and so on and so on. So that is discrimination as you just look at what are the aspects that contribute towards discrimination.
Yeah, right. Before we get to that, I would really want to get to those aspects. You touched very briefly earlier as you were responding on the possibility of fair discrimination as well as unfair discrimination. What then becomes the difference between the two?
Very, very good, Sasazi. The critical part is that whenever there is a fair, there is an unfair. So let's look at what is then fair discrimination, which can be misleading because in the context of the workplace, discrimination is generally considered unacceptable and illegal. So I hope the listener is paying attention as we continue, because employment discrimination is typically prohibited. So when we say that, we want to ensure that everybody has equal opportunities for all individuals, so regardless of characteristics or background. However, there are certain situations where distinctions can then be made based on what we generally refer to as legitimate factors that are essential for the job's requirements and responsibilities. These will then not be considered unfair discrimination, but they are rather necessary qualifications for the role. So that is where you bring in the fair discrimination. So remember earlier when we met touching on unfair discrimination and looking into the overt issues, including of the covert. So some of the examples then on the third discrimination will then look into the bona fide occupational qualifications, meaning the employers are allowed to then consider specific characteristics for a particular job, right? Employers are allowed to look at merit-based discrimination, where they need to make a decision related to the hiring of employees, of applicants, based on individual qualifications, skills, and experiences. Seniority sometimes is a criteria for that. Qualifications and abilities. So in other words, where, for example, the casting agent will need a person with individual characteristics, then everybody else will apply there will then be eliminated. That is a fair discrimination because they might need somebody with a particular height, with a particular voice.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a fair way of discriminating.
We've heard some complaining on this fair discrimination, saying that it is reverse racism. Do they have a point?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is why it is then important that when institutions, companies look into discrimination, have the consciousness that it be unfair if it can result in a negative work environment. Because if it's also not regulated, rather, let me put it that way, because countries and companies must work within the confines of the law, of the regulations, to prohibit workplace discrimination and promote equal opportunities. So where it is now deliberately and organizations deliberately exclude others, that becomes unfair. Then ideally institutions must work within diversity, equity and inclusion framework to be in a position to position fair discrimination in that way, ensure that the previous, you know, what we might look into as addressing historical disadvantages, promoting representation, creating more inclusive workplace, that should be done within specific frameworks. That should be done within limitations of the law. In South Africa and many other countries, there is clear reference to affirmative action, equity measures, inclusive policies. If that is done within those frameworks, then it is not even an area of contestation.
I see.
Because everybody can refer to documentation and have an understanding why there will be a particular way of recruiting in that particular organization.
I see. Very interesting. Now, Gugu, do speak to us, please, about the concept of equal pay, of equal value.
They're referring to the equal pay for work for purposes of equal value.
Yes.
Right. Thank you very much. In that way, we can look at the successful and progressive companies who are committed to ensuring that there's equal pay for work of equal value. And that requires a strategy, and that should be governed by policies. So here are the approaches that I can share with you, top of my head, that it is essential that when you have looked into all other aspects that relate to DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace, that look into your affirmative approach, affirmative action approach, that when it then comes to equal pay for work done and equivalent to the equal value, that is applied across the board, where there is no marginalization based on gender, no marginalization based on race. So critical, the organization must then look into conducting regular pay audits, where they can be in a position to say there should be pay equity to identify and rectify any gender, race, or even any other demographic-based pay gaps. Because where we are in most countries, whether progressive or not, democratic or not, that is a current challenge. Then the organization then looks, the company looks into analyzing the compensation data to ensure that employees perform similar work are paid fairly, right? What I find that it becomes a progressive in an institution where even the salary structure is handled in a very transparent manner, right? Where you communicate, you establish what the salary structure is, clearly define how the compensation is going to be handled based on skills, experience, job responsibilities. And in that way, it becomes obvious and open it put in the internal drive where everybody can see their salary ranges and be in a position to interpret how they will look into opportunities to progress. Once that is done, the progressive institution to ensure equal pay for equal work value, they will then be in a position to put also the objective performance evaluation. When they put that, they will promote that, right? That there will be promotion of that, clarity on that, and address all the unconscious biases that exist in the organization. So there should then be a culture of openness, awareness, inclusivity.
Yeah.
Once you haven't done that, especially if you are going to be doing it clinically with all the actuarial needs that have got to be put when putting all the salary ranges, then the equity committees come into play because they are nominated by the employees. Then there is clarity in how equity, the pay equity committees handle, the task force handle the review of compensation and all the best practices within the organization. And therefore, there is nothing that is held in secrecy. Everybody has an understanding, and that fosters an inclusive culture, investing in equal opportunities and equal pay.
I like what you are saying, Gukuletu, because I know that in many instances, the people are told that keep this salary to yourself. You know, there's it is it should not be discussed with anyone. It is your secret, and so we then go along with that. And for ages, it has been like that. That's why in some instances, when people discover how much other people are getting paid, it becomes a sore point to the extent that it also creates conflict between employer and employee. So you are saying that that is now discouraged nowadays?
Ideally, your salary is your business. However, within the institution, we do know that employees have general conversations. They also have an idea of how when somebody gets promoted, because salaries are processed in-house. So it is rather essential that the organization does its own task. Remain, we provide clarity of salary bands, salary ranges, and make them available whenever they are needed. In that way, everybody has an understanding. I am correctly pegged where I am based on the work that I do. How do that, do I then instill a desire for growth within the organization? When somebody does that, they even have an idea of what to aim for, understanding what the next salary bands will be. So that is what is really encouraged. It takes us back to the whole conversation of ensuring that whenever you have talent acquisition, you avoid all areas that remain a mystery. And everything can be accounted for. Whether you're subpoenaed by the court, everything is out there, and that is how you manage fairness.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. In fact, it's really eye-opening and quite enlightening. Now, what are the legal procedures for dispute resolution in instances of unfair discrimination disputes in the workplace?
Ideally, when you observe some form of marginalization, discrimination in the workplace, you need to find a platform to raise it, because unless it's raised, nobody can second guess, right? When it is then raised in a structured manner, it creates an environment that the complainant can be heard, inclusive of the subject of complaint. So what we always encourage from a labor perspective as a people and culture strategist is always say to the person, establish the institutions themselves must establish a formal complaint process where you ensure that the organization has a clear and acceptable process for employees to raise their own complaints. Now, it will then be the duty of the organization at onboarding induction that this is communicated. When it is communicated, whether in writing or reference documents, it is also the responsibility of the employee to become familiarize themselves with the process when there is no issue, so that when there are issues, they can then be in a position to communicate with ease. So that open communication is encouraged, and that environment should be allowed to express concerns and without fear of retaliation. So policies that are going to manage mitigation of retaliation, mitigation of harassment when employees raise issues should be put in place. Then there could then be open dialogue, communication between the affected parties and the relevant stakeholders. Stakeholders could be immediate supervisor. It could be the next higher level in the organization. And then the organization must designate a neutral investigator on the matter. So in within countries, there will even be ombudsmen on issues like that. However, internally, a neutral investigator can look into the matter, then they can conduct a thorough investigation and follow through by gathering the information, the statements and evidence. So in your earlier question, can employees share information? So other employees are free to do that. So whoever is bringing in a complaint because that has not been addressed before can then collate what people consent to say, yes, I can share my payslip with you. I can share information with you in a legally allowable manner. So that information becomes part of the thorough investigation. The investigator then needs to ensure that everything is then handled with all the confidentiality required. If the employee is the one raising, the employee needs to request for that matter to be handled confidentially. That whole investigation has got to be documented. Remember, it needs to take us back to the data. If there's a need to seek legal guidance, the employee can just wait a bit and establish, do I seek legal guidance internally or am I allowed to handle it externally? Most of the time, institutions prefer internal handling because it's only a fair way. Right? Then corrective measures can then be put in place. Most of the time, employees, I observe, they become reluctant to raise issues. And yet organizations, based on different portfolio that exists, I'll give you an example. If Meta is raised with me as a people and culture strategist, I'll then put corrective measures in place, provide support and remedies on the matter. If there's a need, when there's a compilation, then there's an opportunity to even review those policies, right? If there's a need to get everybody into the room, create sessions, round bags, and conduct training for people to have an interpretation of their own salaries and have an understanding how the organization needs to get to equity in pay, then that needs to be put in place. Once there's an investigation, there is compilation of information, there will be a need for monitoring and evaluation. So the people and culture specialist or HR strategist can then request that we have an external monitor or internal committee for future mediation, for future monitoring and evaluation. And we cannot ignore that this is not handled in isolation. So even the Skills Development Act addresses this, employment equity addresses this, internal policies address this. And then in that way, you can foster positive work culture by ensuring that there is fair discrimination, eliminating unfair, and ensuring that there's equal pay for equal work value.
Wow. You know what, Gugu, there is a lot to cover on this particular subject, especially in your area of expertise. We're hoping that we can cover those some other time. Our time is far spent this afternoon, but I do want to appreciate your time that you have made for us here at AWR. Blessings to you.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the opportunity to
Thank you so much. Keep well.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.